brings pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, loaded thy
as we sing his praise. He's coming on the clouds.
He's coming on the clouds. Kings and kingdoms will bow down. Every chain will break. His broken hearts declare his praise. But who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. And every knee will bow before him.
We open up the gates of our praise. Give him glory.
Open up the gates. Make way for the King of Kings. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. But who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power.
God is the Lion, the Lion.
this morning. Amen. You may have a seat. Well, good morning. My name is Brian. I'm one of the pastors here. If you were here last week, you know that we moved our announcements from the end of the service to the front of the service after this first song. So I'm gonna plow through these really quickly for you and let you know some important things coming up. First of all, there's a volunteer appreciation dinner that's happening in December. You want to sign up for that. If you serve in any ministry here in the church, this is for you. It's a chance for you to come and just be thanked by the staff for what an awesome job that you do here at the church. We couldn't be Summit Church without the volunteers here, and we want to celebrate you guys. Next, the women are hosting a coffee and dessert night. Register for that as well. Invite a friend. It is probably one of the most fun holiday events of the year. There's coffee and dessert and music and fun. The tables are decorated really beautiful. You guys are just going to love it. And lastly, there's if you want to donate to the relief fund for the California wildfires that were going on, there's a drop-down in our church app giving module that you can say disaster relief, and you can give specifically to that. We're going to partner specifically with ministries in the local region there and bring the relief that is so desperately needed. So why don't you stand back up before we continue worshiping God. Turn to somebody next to you and tell them that you're glad that you're here. We're gonna start singing some Christmas songs now. It is the Christmas season. Here we go! We have a reason to be joyful.
worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Our God is an amazing God. And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, born of the Virgin Mary, sent as a little baby to redeem us all and draw him to himself. And on that night, the angels broke forth in song to celebrate the birth of Jesus. Angels, we have heard. Shepherds, why this jubilee?
Shepherds, why this jubilee? Why your joyous strains prolong? Say what may the tidings be, which inspire your heavenly song.
To Bethlehem and see.
Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King.
For that, God, and we praise you this morning for your goodness. We worship you, Lord.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took took a breath, you breathe your life in me. And you have been so, so kind to me. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathe your life in me. You have been so, so kind to me. here and we soak that truth in right now, God. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that stands between you and us, God. Whatever it is that we feel is holding us back, God, we know that's just a lie. Because the truth is, God, there is no shadow, no darkness in our life that you won't come in and burst forth with light, God. God, and we are just overwhelmed.
Christmas song, O Holy Night, says, while mankind was in sin and error pining, God sent his Son. Just a reminder that there's nothing we can do, there's no distance we can run that will separate us from the love of God. That's the promise we have of Scripture. And because of that, we can lift our songs of praise. Because of that, we can stand before God knowing that he's smiling on his children. And a reminder that we can shout out his glory and his goodness. So let's sing one more song about the praise of God. Let the praise echo in this place. Let him remind us that in his light we find life. In his light we find joy. Praise you, God. We worship you. We love you, Lord. Here in your light we find. Here in your light we find. What makes us come alive? A sacrifice of praise. A city on a hill, surrender to your will, your glory on display. Your glory on display. Awesome in this place. Jesus, you are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be praised. Here we go. You will be praised. You will be praised. declare it now that this space belongs to our God, that He is awesome in this place.
Awesome in this place. Jesus, You are awesome in this place. Worthy to be praised. Jesus, You are worthy to be praised. You will be praised.
Why don't you turn to somebody next to you, tell them your name, tell them you're glad that they're here, and tell them if you like fruitcake or not. Do you like fruitcake? Yes or no on the fruitcake. And then have a seat.
Good morning, Summit, and God bless you guys. Obviously, Lisa and I aren't there with you today. We're on our annual trip to Tahoe celebrating with Lisa's family. And I have to tell you, I'm jealous because of all weekends, I really wanted to be there for our guest speaker. Ryan Bowles is no stranger to our church. He's been here a few times before, and we get such amazing comments after he's been with us. He's an amazing communicator. I really don't know too many people with Ryan's integrity, his heart, his compassion and love for people, and he really is just a good, good guy. I love spending time with him, and I'm heartbroken we're not there with you guys this weekend, but I wanted to personally introduce Ryan to you today. You're going to love his message. He told me what he's speaking on. He's finishing up our four-part series on happy thanksgiving, and I love what he's going to be talking about. I know you will too. Thank you for being there at Summit today. God bless you guys. Ryan, I love you and miss you. Thank you for speaking today. Enjoy.
Well, good morning, Summit Church. It is awesome to be back here with you. This is my favorite church to travel to, and I promise I don't say that everywhere I go. This is my favorite church to travel to, so I have been looking forward to it. I got to come down earlier in the year, and I didn't preach. I just got to sit through a service and enjoy it with all of you and listen to Pastor Chris, but it is awesome to be back here. How many of you traveled for Thanksgiving this past week? Did a little bit of traveling. All right, how many of you had people, family members, friends travel to you? Okay, quite a bit of traveling, one of the busiest traveling weekends of the year. This should catch just about all of us. How many of you in some way or another got together with friends and family? All right, that's pretty well all of us. It seems like everyone has so much going on these days, crazy schedules, all kinds of things to do. But when this time of year rolls around and it's time to give thanks, we come home for Thanksgiving because that's where we want to be at and those are the people who we want to be with. A few years ago, I took my two sons to an NFL game on Thanksgiving. And it seemed like a great idea when we bought the tickets. We did have a good time at the game. My team lost, but they usually do when I go. However, that night it was about 7:30 or 8 o'clock, and we were sitting at a buffet-style restaurant having our Thanksgiving meal, and it looked and tasted like it had been out since about noon. And I started thinking about the family back home and the delicious meal that they were enjoying. And I said, never again will I go to a football game on Thanksgiving. It was awful. There's a long-standing tradition in our country to come home for Thanksgiving, whether that's going to a parent's house or a grandparent's house, a traveling across the country or just across town, maybe just getting together with the people who live in your house with you, we come home for Thanksgiving. So that's what I titled the message this morning. Now, for our purpose here today, I want us to view that term home as more than just a place you grew up in or the town that you live in. I want us to view home as the place in life where God currently has you. The place in life where God currently has you. Your world as it is today, your spouse, your kids, your parents, your current position at work, the house you live in, just the way it is right now, the relationships you have. Everything that makes up your life as it is at this very moment, we're going to call home for you, all right? So when I say this message is called Home for Thanksgiving, it's really about learning to be thankful and learning to be content in whatever season of life God currently has us in. Not just being thankful for what he did and where you were at another point in life, maybe in the past when things seemed easier, and not just looking forward to the life you hope you one day have in order to be thankful. God wants us to be thankful and content in whatever makes up home for us right now. Now, since the last time I preached here at Summit Church, I've had a career change. I was pastoring the church that actually Pastor Chris served as my youth pastor at back in the mid to late 90s. Earlier this year, I had the opportunity to go to work for an organization called Convoy of Hope. Has anyone ever heard of Convoy of Hope? I've been very connected with them over the years, traveled around and spoke for them at different places, supported them, but the opportunity came available to come to work for them, and absolutely love it, having a great time. But when I first started for Convoy of Hope, my oldest son, Garrett, gave his younger brother, Scout, some cautionary advice. He said, "Scout, I remember Dad has gone on trips with them before a few different times. He's seen extreme poverty. And when he gets back from those trips, you're not allowed to gripe or complain or be ungrateful about anything. So be careful." Now he's going to be seeing that all the time. So he's trying to help him out because Garrett understands that one of my pet peeves, probably my biggest pet peeve as a parent, do you have those things that just get under your skin? Mine is ungratefulness. Absolutely drives me nuts. And perhaps the biggest contrast we find in Scripture between people who got this wrong and someone who got it right is the difference we find between the Israelites and the Apostle Paul. Okay, Paul found himself in all kinds of different situations. In one season of life, you could find him successfully planting churches, people following him, supporting him, encouraging him. He was staying in nice places. Yet at other times, people were chasing him down, ridiculing him, questioning his motives, persecuting him, even throwing him in jail. So home looked very different for Paul throughout the various seasons of his life, but it never really mattered the circumstances that surrounded him. Paul was consistently thankful and content. The Israelites, on the other hand, were not. Their native language was negativity. Moses is trying to lead them out of Egyptian slavery to the promised land that God had called them to, and all they could do was gripe. "We don't have any food. God gives them food. Well, we don't like this food. Moses, why did you bring us out here into this wilderness to begin with? We would rather go back to being slaves." And that was their problem. They thought we could be happy in our past if we could just go back to being slaves. And we could be happy in the future if we were already in the promised land. But they could never just be happy and thankful and content in the place they were currently at. And I don't know about you, but I think that is an issue that a lot of us deal with. But we're thankful for the past. We can even tend to kind of view the past through rose-colored glasses, the good old days, we call them. If I could just go back to some point in my past, I would be content. If I could go back to my childhood, or if I could go back to when we were first married. For some people, it's if I could go back to when I was married. For others, it's if I could go back to when I was single. If I could go back to when my kids were younger, if I could just go back, I would be happy. We also can do this. I'll be content just as soon as I have this thing, achieve this position, or arrive at this stage of life. And in our minds, joy and contentment are always somewhere out in the future. The problem is, when we get that thing, achieve that position, or arrive at that stage of life, there's always something else out there even further. And happiness is always just around the corner. The place where we feel like we can be thankful and content is just out of reach. When we get what we thought would fulfill us, we find ourselves very quickly just as unfulfilled as we were before. We find that contentment could not be found in that place. Contentment couldn't be found in that promotion, in that raise, in that item we wanted so badly. A few weeks ago, my wife and youngest son left the house that morning a little bit before my oldest son and I, and somehow they did not notice that when they opened the door and walked out, a bird flew in. So me and the older boy are left to deal with this bird, and it flew directly over to this big bay window we have in our living room, and he saw the picture of what he wanted, the beautiful outdoors. That's where he wanted to go. That's where he wanted to be. And so he went to fly to it and smacked his head right on the window. And you would think he would learn, I'm not going to get there this way. But he didn't. He did it again and again and again. Finally, my son came out of the kitchen with a plastic bag, and he said, hey, Dad, do you think I could catch him with this? And I said, no, but I want to watch you try. And so he did try. He never got him, but the bird eventually, I opened up the front door, and the bird saw the opening there, finally got out. But I just began to think he could have hit his head on that window over and over and over again, trying to get to that place that he wanted, and he would have never got there that way. It's like Chinese food. It looks so good when we're hungry, and it tastes so good while we're eating it, and we feel like, man, I'm not going to eat for 3 days, I'm so full, and 45 minutes later, we're hungry again. It wasn't fulfilling. The fact is, multitudes of individuals have died having never experienced contentment because they kept looking for it in the wrong places and trying to attain it in the wrong ways. This is what Paul said to Timothy as he's talking about people who were using a show of godliness to get rich. 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning in verse 6. Yet true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. That's a formula. Godliness plus contentment is real wealth, true wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. But people who long to be rich fall into temptation and are trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. Now, don't misunderstand this. It's not saying it's a sin to be wealthy. It's not saying it's wrong to be rich. As a matter of fact, Paul goes on to explain it a little further. He says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people say money's the root of all evil, but that's not what the scripture says. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money can be good. Money funds ministry. Money funds what all the great things I see Summit Church doing all the time. But it's the love of money. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. But you, Timothy, are a man of God, so run from all these evil things. Pursue righteousness and a godly life along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. So it's really an issue of, what are we pursuing? What are we pursuing? There are poor people who are content, and there are rich people who are content. There are poor people who are not content, And there are rich people who are not content. The issue is, what is the deepest, truest pursuit of your heart? Is it money, status, stuff, or is it Jesus? If it's money, status, and stuff, it doesn't matter how much of it we get, we'll never be content. But if it's Jesus, it doesn't matter how much of that other stuff we get or don't get, have or don't have, we'll still be able to be content and thankful. Contentment doesn't mean we never want anything else or we never work towards something better. It just means we don't have to have that in order to be thankful. This is something I really want to instill in my two sons, to work hard, to go after your dreams, but at the same time to learn to be thankful and content in whatever position you find yourself in, because real contentment is only found in Christ. Real contentment is only found in Christ. And you know, I've found that on this issue, some of it is just a difference in personalities between different people. I see that with my two sons. I've learned that in parenting. My youngest son, Scout, I love him to death, but I'll tell you about the boy. He really enjoys the finer things of life. 11 years old, we go out to eat, he's got to have a steak. We go shopping, it has to be name brand. So he has some friends a while back that he heard were moving to a big fancy neighborhood in our community. These are the houses that like have rooms set aside just for gift wrapping, those kind of places. And so he decides we need to move there too. And he tells me, Dad, we need to move over to this neighborhood. So I gave him the answer I give him very often on various issues. That sounds great, son. As soon as you pay for it, we're there. He's the kind of kid who, some of you may have had kids like this. If he doesn't get what he wants, he feels like it's abuse. So a while back, he and I were at home alone one evening, and I had fed him dinner early in the evening. I knew he would be hungry again. I just knew he would. So he's in his room playing Fortnite, and I say, Scout, you need to stop playing the game for a few minutes and eat because you're going to be hungry, and you're not eating at bedtime. No, Dad, I'll be fine. So it gets to an hour before bedtime, and I tell him again, you need to pause for a little bit because you're going to be hungry, and you're not going to eat at bedtime. No, Dad, I'm fine. So bedtime rolls around. I say, it's time to go to bed. All right, Dad, but I'm hungry. I said, I know you're hungry. I told you an hour ago you would be hungry. I told you 2 hours ago you would be hungry. You're not eating. Go to bed. He says to me, and I quote, you're child abusing me, and I'm turning you in. I said, son, I will dial the phone number for you. When the family services department comes out and sees how the Bowles boys live, they'll be taking me and your mom away for parental abuse. You've not seen child abuse, but if you don't get to bed very quickly, you might. That's finer things of life. He really enjoys those things. My older son is completely different. When he was just about to turn 16, I knew that we needed to go car shopping, so I take him to a car lot. He's there all of 45 seconds, and I hear him say, hey, Dad, something like this would be great. So I walk over there to the car he's standing at. The bumper's hanging half off. There's no paint on the hood or the top or the trunk, and he's just like, hey, anything like this will work. That's Garrett. Very different personalities. And here's my point in that. You may be someone who wants nothing more than to have a little cabin in the woods, live off the land, and make your own butter. Or you may be someone who enjoys the finer things of life. That's cool. There's nothing wrong with that. The question is, regardless of which kind of person you are, can you be thankful right where you're at with whatever it is you have, because you know that what really matters is Jesus Christ and a relationship with him? Let me throw this in as well. I think as we pursue Christ more and more, what we desire most begins to change. Psalm 37, verse 4 is a scripture that I always read one way, and then I heard a different take on it about a year ago, and I've looked at it differently ever since. It says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I've always taken that to mean if I delight myself in the Lord, he will give me whatever I want. He'll give me whatever my heart desires. But now I see it this way. If I take delight in the Lord, what he gives me are new desires. Desires that line up with his desires to where I long for what he longs for. My heart breaks for what breaks his heart. As we delight ourselves in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our heart, new desires. Over the years, I found that a lot of people want to know what God's will is for them. It's one of their top questions. What's God's plan for me? What does he want from my life? What is his will for me? And I'm going to give it to you. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. Now, that's not quite as deep as what people often want to hear, but I believe it's the perfect starting place for all of us. If you want to know more of what God's specific will is for your life, start with what he's clearly laid out in Scripture. It's God's will for you and me to be thankful in all circumstances. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, not a point in the past, not a point in the future. This is the day. Whatever this day has brought you, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is a chapter that's a very odd choice for a Thanksgiving series message, because Paul's talking about whether it's good to be married or single, and then he goes from that into talking about whether we should be circumcised or uncircumcised, and I promise that's not my motivation today. We're not going to be talking about that. But right in the middle of the chapter, verse 17, I think speaks to what we're talking about here. Right in the middle of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he says, nevertheless, each person should live as a believer in, say that next word with me, whatever. In whatever situation the Lord has assigned them, just as God had called them. Whatever situation the Lord has assigned to you. Whatever circumstances you currently find yourself in. Whatever home is for you at this point in your life. Let's take a look real quickly at what I believe to be one of the most misquoted scriptures in all the Bible. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, we slap that on coffee cups and t-shirts and bumper stickers, and it's come to be known as a verse that we just kind of take whatever it is we desire and whatever it is we want to do and make it sound spiritual. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So the guy who hasn't ran 10 feet in a decade decides he wants to run a marathon, and he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. But that's not at all what the Apostle Paul intended or was talking about as he wrote those words sitting in jail for preaching the gospel. We'll look at it in context beginning in verse 11. He says, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever, we see it again, whatever situation I am, to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty, he'd been there, and hunger, he had been there too. Abundance and need, he'd experienced both. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So he's talking about contentment. He's saying, I know what it is for life to be going good, and I know what it is for life to be going bad. I know what it is to have a lot, and I know what it is to have nothing. But the secret of contentment is to know that you can handle whatever it is you're facing, wherever you're at in life, through Christ who gives you strength to face that. So I want to ask you this question this morning. What's your whatever? What's your whatever? Paul said, I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. So what's your whatever? What is home for you right now at this season of your life. What is home? I'm talking about your spouse, just the way they are. Not like they used to be, not like you hope they one day will be after you get a little more time to work on them, but just as they are. For others, it's a season of being single. That's home for you right now. I'm talking about the house you live in just the way it is. Not when you get the new deck put on and the kitchen remodeled, but your house just the way it is today. Your kids at their current age. Not back when they were cute little infants and never talked back and never disobeyed. Or not when they finally get out of the terrible twos and you don't have to deal with the tantrums anymore. But your kids at their current age, because friends, I'll tell you something, it's an age you will never get back. Your job, not when you get the promotion or the career change, but the job that you're blessed to be able to do right now. Your church, just the way it is. Not when they get it all figured out and do things the way that you want them to be done and sing the songs that you want to be sung, but your church, just the way it is. You have an incredible, incredible church. I said it earlier, it's my favorite place to travel to and speak. I love what God is doing at Summit. You're surrounded by incredible people and have leadership that is second to none. You have a lot to be thankful for here. Your age. Not back when you were younger and you woke up and 14 different places on your body didn't hurt. Or for the students, not down the road when you can move out and have freedom and you don't have to be under your parents' thumb. You can do whatever you want, or at least you think. But your age, just as it is today. It's home for you. You know, it's tempting to look at our past and remember how great it was and even maybe to wish that we could go back there sometimes, but we can't. It's also tempting to look at what we hope our future will be when things change, when circumstances are different, and say, man, I'll be thankful then. I'll be content then. But we don't live in the future either. We live in today. Whatever home is for us right now. It's easy to plan on being thankful in that future place, but we've got to learn to be thankful in this place. To not go to that picture of what we wish our life would be like in order to be thankful, but instead to come home for Thanksgiving and choose to be thankful for whatever this current season of life we're in looks like. It really comes down to an issue of perspective. What are you going to choose to focus on? You know, I hate cold weather. I absolutely hate cold weather, and we get a lot of it in Missouri. But a few weeks ago, I was working in Florida for a week. It's very hot down there. I got a sunburn on Saturday. I preached with a sunburn Sunday morning, and I loved it because it was 15 back home, 15 degrees. So finished preaching, I get on a plane, fly back home, go to bed with the sunburn still on my face, wake up and there's snow all over the ground. And I got scared for a minute because I thought I had died in my sleep and woke up in hell. I hate the snow. I was in a bad mood. All day I'm griping about the snow and the cold, and we don't even have spring or fall anymore. It goes from 100 degrees down to 10. And the cold weather, the winter, just really had me in a bad mood. And that same day, I saw this sign on social media that said this: if you choose not to find joy in the snow, you will have less joy in your life, but still the same amount of snow. I thought that's good. It was actually convicting to me. And so I began to think, you know, there are good things I can find to be thankful for. I can find joy in the winter. The kids like it. The kids are outside playing in the snow. I can find joy in the fact that they find joy in it. Football season comes in the winter. Find joy in that. Christmas comes right in the middle of winter. I believe that's Jesus' way of redeeming Satan's season of winter. I can find joy in that. And you know, there are good things that you and I can find in whatever season of life we're in. But we've got to choose to focus on them. Two more scriptures, Philippians chapter 4, I'll do verse 4 and then verse 8. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. But we can always be full of joy because our joy does not come from our circumstances. Our joy is found in the Lord. Verse 8 says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. But we choose what we think about. We choose what we focus on, and I guarantee that God has blessed every single one of us at this exact point in our lives with some great things to thank him for. How many of you are fans of the show The Office? Anyone? Yeah, the reruns are on now like 1,400 times a day. But I love The Office, and my favorite episode ever was the final episode. All the cast members do kind of a final monologue, and you can tell it's more than just a character reading a script, but they're filling it. They're talking about the time they spent on the show and how amazing it was, and the relationships they had formed with other cast members, and now that's kind of coming to an end. And one of them looks into the camera and says something I believe is so powerful. He said, I wish there was a way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them. We tend to look at the good old days as a time that's in the past. But I want to challenge us this morning to focus on all we have to be thankful for at this season in our lives. And realize that in at least some ways, you are living in the good old days right now. Let me pray for you. God, I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to be back at Summit Church, and I'm excited about the things that I see you doing here, the difference that they're making in their community, Lord, that you have positioned them in a way to reach out to this area, Lord, and truly have an impact. I pray your blessing and your favor would just continue to be on them, Lord, for their health, for finances and families, God. Let us also be a grateful people. Lord, I know there are many who are struggling and have difficulties at this current season in their life, but let us be the kind of people who make it a choice to focus on what you've blessed us with. Lord, to make the most of this season of our lives, all for your glory, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you guys so much. God bless you.
Thank you, Ryan, for that amazing word. We live in a season right now of Thanksgiving. This is also a season of generosity, and in just a moment, I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward and receive the offering. And I pray that God begins to stir in our hearts now that we think in a mindset of generosity, that we live in a mindset of generosity. Father God, we come before you now with trust. Bring our offerings to you, bring our tithes to you as an exercise of trust, saying that we know every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not shift with the shadows. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because of that, we can live generous lives. Amen. Let's invite the ushers forward now to receive the offering as we sing one more song.
On the clouds.
will bow down. Every chain will break, his broken hearts declare his praise. Who can stop the Lord Almighty?
What a wonderful Sunday together with you guys. Why don't you all stand to your feet? Again, we've moved our announcements from the end of the service to the beginning, so this is your chance to turn to somebody next to you and one last time just remind them of your name and ask them if they like fruitcake or not, and then stack three chairs. Have a wonderful Sunday, everybody.
The heart longs for a little bit of hope. Oh, come, amen. Child prays for peace on earth, and she's calling out from a sea of hurt. Oh, come, Emmanuel. And can you hear the angels sing? Sound of love comes.